Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hi. This is Dr. Cappuccino, host of the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Good morning and happy everything. You know, a lot of people wait until it's Christmas time, Thanksgiving, or some other holiday to start proclaiming happiness on everyone. You know, you don't have to wait for a specific holiday. All you got to do is make up your mind that you're going to spread cheer to everyone you come into contact with, whether you're still in your bed, whether you're up on your feet. But the main thing, you're happy to be alive. And you want others to know that they should be happy too. Things can always be worse than 6 feet under. But today, on the Dr. Cappuccino Show, we're on a rescue mission. And our entitled myth for the topic today is Footmen to the Rescue. For the sake of living for others. You know, many are living for sports events and dance halls and places where they can drink all the whiskey that they have available, but not you and I. We've decided to come up out of that. We've decided to allow a supreme force to bring us out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And truly, where there's light, there's freedom. And where there's freedom, there's love in the hearts of those sharing it. Thank you for tuning in this morning, Saturday, on the 9th of March. Wow, you know, this year's passing already. You know, I'm looking at Christmas things still put up in my home, and my goodness, guess what? It appears that this world is just passing supersonically before our very eyes. It was Christmas, now here it is, March 9th. But we're going to move on into our topic, footmen to the rescue for the sake of others. And, you know, it's very important that we get involved with those that are spreading cheer and trying to spread love. This is why I'm going to encourage you to visit www.ipforpeace.org for information on how you can become a volunteer footman. Our footwoman, someone, you know, said, well, what about us women? Well, jump on in there, volunteer footmen or footwomen. Right now from your home, your computer, your laptop, your desktop, when seeking for ways and means to help your fellow man. You can never go wrong putting others first. And we see this. We see the world is in chaos and many have given up to give out to suicide and other debauched ways of living. So we're going to talk to you about how you can join the movement of the century, assisting in the salvage of a world in need of love and direction for peace, faith, and family. Now, each week we have Reverend Dr. Colonel Harrison with us. Colonel, are you here again this morning? I know I'm being greedy with your time. Are you here today?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, and listen, audience, I'm with you today for a short period of time, and thanks for inviting me again, and I'll have to break away shortly for another meeting. I apologize for the conflict in schedule, but I'm with you this morning for a very short period of time, probably, you know, a few short minutes.
Well, while I have you for a few short minutes along with our listening audience, I'm holding a copy of your book, The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. And it says by former Chief of Police, Colonel William Harrison. And at the very bottom, it says, fear not. Well, I got news for you, Colonel. A lot of people are afraid today because of what they see, because of what they hear, and, of course, because of what they're feeling, because there is so much civil unrest in the land. You only have a few moments, so I want you to tell us very briefly why you decided a book like this was necessary to come into fruition at a time such as this. I understand it was copywritten in 2016. Why the book? Why the message? Why was this something you felt was needed for a time like this?
I received revelation to write such a book after 38 years in law enforcement, Dr. Cappuccino, listening audience, because I found that there was a difference in not only in our race, nationality, creed, but in our cultures. And because we didn't understand our culture, our race race understanding and getting along each other sort of broke down and fall apart. And as a result of racial tension, and as a result of distrust, as a result of dislike, prejudice, disdain, we grew apart. And then coupled with that, we became strained or estranged from law enforcement. And so between being divided as a people and then being divided from law enforcement, which is the peacekeepers of the land, whenever an incident would happen in certain communities, rather than having an understanding relationship to talk through the things and try to resolve the problems with the law enforcement authority, civil disobedience came about. And so it was chaos because of a lack of understanding, a lack of relationships, a lack of meeting, a lack of getting to know each other's cultures and so forth and so on. And this became systemic, which you still see going on today. But it goes back further than that, because it goes back to Mahatma Gandhi of India, who was one of the greatest peacekeepers in the world. And it transcends to Dr. Martin Luther King in the late 50s, early 60s, was the greatest civil rights and peace advocate in America for all people from all walks of life. And so we need peace. If we have peace, then that translates into us having confidence in each other, liking each other, loving one another, caring, wanting to support each other. So then we become strengthened in our faith and our belief, not only in God, but also helping each other. And then our families become stronger. But because we have become estranged from each other, from until the rescue is sorely needed, because we cannot depend on due respect to elected officials at the national, state, and local level. We cannot depend on them to fix the problems we have in our communities. From until the rescue, people like us got to hit the ground running, knocking on doors, find out who live in our communities, who needs help, and just reach out, because the world is spiraling out of control. And citizens, law-abiding citizens that love each other and love family, got to come together, got to mobilize without regards to our nationality and turn this thing around worldwide.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, wow, wow. I felt every word you said. Thank you. Oh, my God, so much. Well, before you hop off the line, I have a copy, like I mentioned earlier, of the book. There is a forerunner page that says at one point you had responsibilities that consisted of managing 35 police officers and 3 uniformed sergeants, plus 30 reserve police officers of the Latino Community Center. Was this a big job moving forward, talking about trying to contain chaos in the land? Was this type of responsibility during the time that this occurred, was this a really big responsibility that caused you to feel you were on the right track and trying to get some kind of a handle on any future chaos that might be in that community?
Yes, it was awesome, John. In fact, it was the mid to late 80s, Doc, and to be accurate, the book reflects that. That's when I was a community relations commander, but before that, in the Metropolitan Police of Washington, D.C., I was a patrol commander, and I was responsible for 80 to 100 officers and some 8 to 10 patrol sergeants. So my responsibility was greater than that which I indicate in the book. But yeah, we were in an inner city community where there was drugs, there was prostitution, there was burglary, there was robbery, there was gambling, there was El Salvadorian brothers and sisters, Afro-Americans, Caucasian, had a mixed pot of people living in that community, and we had a tough job trying to maintain order and maintain law and order and also maintain safety for those who lived in that within the confines of the 3rd Police District of the Metropolitan Police Department of Washington, D.C.
Oh, my goodness. Colonel Harrison, of course, we already know you're a magnificent man, and we thank you for sharing for the past 10 minutes right now on the book that you have written and penned. It has a gorgeous picture of you on the back cover, The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land by former Chief of Police Colonel William Harrison. You can purchase this book directly from Amazon.com. Just go to that site and put in the type in the title, and the book will come up. Thank you so much, Carol. Colonel Harrison, for being with us this morning. I'm going to carry on with the show, and, of course, we honor you for taking the minutes that you have to share with us. God bless you for the rest of the weekend and your life. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Doctor. God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, Colonel Harrison is not only an author, but he's a minister. He's also a man that has spent 40 years with law enforcement, and it's so probable that we have someone like that to share with us from time to time because, you know, America has an issue with their police officers, law enforcement, and that issue really, in my eyes, is, hey, stop meddling with law enforcement. Let these men and women in uniform and out of uniform do their job. You know, there's a lot of people going about talking negatively about law enforcement. You know, I don't want to wake up in the morning and know that there's no black and white police car that's going to cross my path in any given time while I'm traveling about the street. I don't want to wake up and know that there's people running around with guns and knives and machetes to do harm, and there's no law enforcement as a pushback. I personally do not want to wake up or lay down at night knowing that, hey, there's probably some bad guys roaming around, and without the show of force from our policing community, our sheriff community, our detective community, there might be some problems that I can't handle. I don't want to be in that shape, and I know many of you don't. You know, there's so many also saying that the police have used excessive force. In some cases, they have. Those officers that were rogue and that were of a spirit not akin to policing, I understand some of them are in investigation. Some have been incarcerated. Some are undergoing trial right now. But we still need to know that there is some form of enforcement of law when criminals and degenerates and others that got that mindset want to run here and run there to commit crime. This is why Footmen to the Rescue, for the sake of living for others, has come into fruition. And if you go on that website, again, www.ip4peace.org, it talks a little bit about the Footmen to the Rescue, who they are, and how you can get involved. And we're making this call out now as a call of action, and, of course, as a general cause. It's one thing to sit up week after week and talk about all the crime and all the wickedness and all the evil and not really, you know, put our pants on, our shirt, our jacket, and get out the door and do something about it. Well, now you, the listening audience, you have an opportunity to actually join Footmen to the Rescue. There's no cost. And while it does say on that website that there's going to be, I believe on the 17th, a general meeting, which is a conference call where we're going to talk about the character and personality of the footmen and footwomen. We're going to talk about how they can reach the masses via the internet, via phone. And then, of course, if you're brave enough to get on out there, no matter what the weather, and practically go street by street, house to house, proclaiming that there is a group now on the ground, Footmen to the Rescue, that is willing to assist with resources, they're willing to assist with conversation, they're willing to assist with age-old wisdom on how to stay out of hell. Now, they say, oh, my God, what is she talking about? She's going there on hell. No, 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 no. A hell is not some place that you probably set up in church and heard about in a literal fashion. I'm not talking about that hell. I'm talking about the hell of not having enough money to feed your family. I'm talking about the hell that comes about when you find out you don't have a job. I'm talking about the hell that comes about when you go in for a routine physical. And the doctor says you have fourth, third, fourth, fifth grade of cancer. I'm not talking about that, fourth, third, fourth, fifth stage of cancer. Oh, my God. I'm not talking about that and that alone. I'm talking about a cumdrum of problems that is facing Americans facing the world on a, in a national level, and they don't know what to do about it. You know, most of the time, a lot of issues that we face comes about through loneliness, not having the family contact that you need and that you would like, and in general, not knowing what to do when you have problems that you can't solve. People will say, oh, you know, just go sleep on it. You know, you're going to have a good night's rest, and after that, everything's going to be all right. Well, hello, wake up, boom, boom, boom. That's not the case. The case is this. There's so many challenges facing all of us that if things heap on us, 5, 6, 7, 8 problems at one time, we're not going to be able to come out of that in the fashion and the way that is necessary for us to say, oh, I love life, I love living. You know, the stats of suicide is up so high that they can't keep an accurate count. And that's only from reported suicides. There are some that we'll probably never know or hear about. That's not nice. That isn't nice. When you have people at arm's length, you have grocery stores at arm's length, you can walk out your door and be on the bus in less than 5 minutes. I mean, there's so many conveniences now, but the more conveniences that we face as a human race, the more problems we seem to incur. Right now, you know, there's certain companies talking about putting robots in the bank, robots in the grocery store, what they call AL or AI, robots in hospitals. You have actual robots now performing surgeries with the men in the white coat on the other side of a glass window guiding this robot to completion of a surgery. I mean, so much has changed because of technology. And people that don't understand that, they have a feeling that they're going to be exempt. So why should I wait around? You know, I can jump off the building now. I can shoot up with a heroin overdose now. I don't have to wait for that. But here we are. We, as footmen to the rescue, we're commissioned to be our brother's keeper. And I'm not going down a religious rant. We don't need a book to tell us to take care of each other. I love God. I'm a Christian. I don't weigh heavy on him to have to boss me into a corner to do anything for the human race. Innately, we know we are supposed to look out for each other. We know this, whether we want to admit it or not. So the Footman to the Rescue program, which I will be discussing again with Colonel Harrison on the 17th, it has to do with mobilizing from home or the street in order to effect some kind of a process with other human beings so that they will know that whatever you're going through, I've been through it, I'm going through it, and I came out of it, and so can you. We don't want to see the stats of suicide continue to climb. We don't want to see husbands, fathers committing suicide after they've killed their entire family. There's some hope and help for that. Now, why are we talking about sending people to the rescue? There's probably some out there that don't want to be rescued. We're not interested in that. We're interested in those that are behind closed, locked doors, sighing and grieving over what's going on in our world. Those are the ones that have the most to gain, that are really crying and sighing over the problems that they might find themselves engulfed into. That is what I'm talking about. And so if you're a person, and I hate to say this, if you're in your right mind, you know, the blind can't lead the blind. So if you're a person in your right mind, mentally and emotionally, that has a heart helping others on a one-on-one or a family-on-family basis, then you need to tune in on March 17th. I can't give out the call numbers or anything like that because I don't have it. But if you tune in to the next show, then, of course, I'll be able to be better apt at giving you the rest of the information needed. But right now, you are needed. I don't care if you have cancer, if you have one leg, all your fingers been shot off on both hands, you have other physical ailments that can be looked at and observed. Come aboard, Footman, to the rescue. You'd never be surprised at how a warm smile or maybe a handshake or maybe sharing a taco at a taco is establishment You probably never know at just how a few words can help someone on the verge of suicide. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I know I don't care anymore about life. I'm out of here. You'd be surprised. Many people have come to us and said, you know, I didn't have all the winter clothes I needed, but someone in my camp made a phone call, I got them. And that's just talking on that level. But right now, as I'm pointing to, the soul of man, the spirit within, is what we are reaching out to connect with. We're not reaching out to be the big dog, the big cop, or play the big a law enforcer. No, we're calling men and women to prayer. You can pray to whatever God you want. That's between you and your God. We're calling men and women to prayer and to sound judgment and sound discussion on how we can help our neighbors. Our main goal, and I'm just going to give you a little sneak peek here, is to put footmen in every neighborhood. You're going to be responsible for a neighborhood of people if you're hitting the ground. If you're on the internet, if you choose to sit at home because you're a veteran, you've had both feet blown off, you have both legs blown off, you're tired of moving around in that wheelchair, but you still want to be a footman, you can be a footman with no feet. You know how you can be a footman with no feet? You can be a footman with no feet by sitting in your wheelchair, making calls to institutions that might want to have our footmen come in to their institution, their corporate offices, for prayer and to form friendships. People that are friendly form friendships. People that care about others form friendships. So we're calling on you to become a friend to the friendless or those that feel they have no family, no friends. They're on the verge of getting kicked out of their apartment. Their checks are not showing up right. Oh, my God, the ills of man can go on and on and on. So all our purpose is to spread love and cheer in the heart and soul of those that we might come across. And we're hoping the Footmen to the Rescue project program will spread nationwide because all it takes is a little love as a life rope to someone that might be considering killing themselves, that might be considering killing their entire families, their children. And this is going on. Make no mistake about it. Every day, if you Google domestic violence matters, you're going to see some of the most horrendous things you'd ever imagine. And it isn't just something that is coming to the forefront because everything else in the world doesn't seem like it's working. Well, of course, if there's no humans here on Earth because of suicide and this big thing with abortion, it's going to be a problem. Let's take America. Who's going to run America if everyone is committing suicide, throwing wives over bridges, putting kids in ovens, leaving them out in sub-zero temperatures and they're dying? I mean, there's some horrible things going on. It's almost as if, you know, the people committing these crimes are demon-led, demon-inspired. But the majority of them, if you do your stats, these psychotropic drugs, these prescriptions that some of our wayward doctors continue to write, every murder committed in America alone has been committed by someone, just about, not all of them, on drugs. If they get them in there and take these blood tests, they're going to show some of the most heinous crimes have been committed by those on dope, cocaine, opiate, any form of drug, heroin you can name. Why are people turning to these things? It's because they need footmen to the rescue. When people are spoken to on the level they understand, when they're shown by example how to live their life, and when you hear them say, I prayed for help, you know that you have a mission. Sitting up drinking Pepsi and Coca-Cola, and I have nothing against them. I love both of them. I'm trying to wean myself off of them because every time I drink a Coke or a Pepsi, you know, I don't feel my strong self. I don't know what I feel, but I know I don't feel my strong self. I'm not talking about them. The doctors can tell people about drinking these soft drinks and everything else. But right now, we have already seen, read, and heard how that when people are taken care of on the least level, a friendly smile, a phone call, how are you doing? Can I help you with anything? Do you need anything? You need a trip to the doctor. Do you have food in your home? Is your lights on? Is your gas on? Is your plumbing not stopped up? I mean, these are just general things that we as a nation should be interested. Sure, the homeless problem is off the chain, but we've got to blame, in some cases, these greedy landlords. They have homes they paid $5,000 for 50 years ago, and all of a sudden now they want $2,000 and $3,000 for one or two bedroom with one bath. Hey, you greedy, insensitive, residential and commercial real estate landowners or whoever, whatever you call yourself, you are wrong. You know what? America should rise up against that. That's part of the homeless issue. They can't afford what these greedy landlords are actually putting out, and you know who you are. If you're one of them, you need to repent. If you're one of them, you need to go to your mother's grave and say, Mama, I'm sorry. You need to do something. We can't say to our elected officials, oh, it's your fault, people laying out. It could be in certain areas, I don't know, so I don't talk on what I don't know. But we know most of the problem with this homeless issue is because they're continuing to raise rents. Well, hey, I got news for you. Silver and gold that you have, you're going to be throwing it in the street. And that's not too far up in the future. You cannot see and hear about people laying on the sidewalk and you have a dozen properties that are overpriced and overrented. Shame on you. Anybody want to do a cause.com on that? Every state should censor greedy landlords and property owners that have forced people out into the street. You guys got blood on your hands. People are dying out there. You guys got blood on your hands. People are being slaughtered and killed while they sleep out there. Hey, you guys, you got blood on your hands. It's not going to go well for you. You have a family, sons, daughters? Well, go around, come around. You need to go someplace, any place. Call that food broker that you have that's telling you, yeah, you can get $3,000. Yeah. Talk to him about this. Fire him. Censor him. And if you can report him, report him for trying to get you to allude to false statements. And don't pay him a dime commission. And when he tried to sue you, step right in there. You will do a lot. You'll do hundreds of thousands of property owners a favor by going into court, telling the truth about exactly what is going on. So I'm advising right now that next week you tune in again to our show, because we're probably going to have some show notes that will speak volumes to our event on the 17th, because we can use the show as a pre-teaser and let you kind of have a little teaser on what we will be talking about. But don't say you can't do it. Don't say you cannot participate and the Footman to the Rescue program. Again, as long as you're alive and you have a finger to you know, push some buttons on that cell phone, we will help you. We will help you obtain lists of those that you can call. You can even do an opt-in email list of people, even know or might not know, that would welcome a statement that this is who I am and I'm a participant here. If there's anything that we can help you with for a resource or a conversation, please call me at this number, or if you don't want that, please email me such and such. So we're going to show you how to do it. But in the meantime, I want you to have a great weekend. Please say you will. Have a great weekend. And on behalf of Footman to the Rescue, for the sake of living for others, tune in next week to the Dr. Cappuccino Show, which I guess Dr. Harrison might be back on the show. God bless you. And just know this, if you're alive, you're doing great. See you next week. Hear you next week on the Dr. Cappuccino Show. William?